بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Sira is the context in which the Quran was revealed. And Sira is the context in which the Sunnah and the Hadith is understood. If you try to study Sahih Bukhari and you have no clue about the Sira of the Prophet ﷺ, it's very unlikely that you would understand, you'd have a correct understanding of Sahih Bukhari. You'd be able to understand it properly. It's very unlikely to understand Sahih Bukhari without having sound understanding of Sira. And the same applies to the other collections of hadith, like Sahih Muslim and many other. And it is also true that you cannot understand the Qur'an al-Kareem without understanding the seerah properly. If you do not understand the context in which various verses were revealed, and then you claim that I've understood the meaning of the ayah, the true meaning of the ayah, then that would be a false claim. So this is why studying seerah of the Prophet ﷺ is necessary. And it is also a means of perfecting your iman. Because the Prophet ﷺ quite clearly stated that none of you can be a true believer until you have the same love for the Prophet ﷺ like the love that you have for anything else, like your parents, your children, your spouses and the others, the entire world. If you do not love the Prophet ﷺ the same way, in fact, he says that أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, your love for the Prophet ﷺ should be stronger than all other types of love and all other types of affection and bonding. Your bonding with Rasulullah ﷺ should be stronger. If this is not the case, then your iman is incomplete and you cannot attain perfection in belief. So this is why we feel that it's important that we have study circles, we have get-togethers where we talk about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. And seerah of the Prophet ﷺ is again studied in different ways. Some people talk about the dates, they only talk about the year when the Prophet ﷺ was born, or then the year when he received prophethood, and the time, the year when he got married, and then when he migrated from Makkah to Medina, and then when certain events happened, like Battle of Badr, like Mi'raj, okay, the journey of the Prophet ﷺ to the heavens. This is a month, everybody is talking about it. And I wish we were able to have a majlis where we talked about the journey of the Prophet ﷺ to the heavens, from Makkah, and in fact from Masjid al-Haram, Makkah to Al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis, and beyond to the seven heavens and Jannah and Jahannam. I wish we had the opportunity, but unfortunately this year, because we did it last year, but this year we weren't able to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. But inshallah, at another day we'll try and talk about it too, inshallah. So this is one way of talking about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dates or certain events. And the other is slightly more comprehensive. That is where you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household and the things that are around him, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was interacting with those things. How was he interacting with the people around him? How was he interacting with friends? How was he interacting? Who were his friends from a young age? Who were his relatives? And what was the like and the dislike of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because they had significant contribute, they explain the reason why certain things happened, why the Prophet ﷺ had certain experiences, because he had a certain personality, he had a certain orientation, he had a certain mizaj and temperament, and there were things that he liked and things that he did not like, and he did things because he had to for natural reasons, like he had a family to look after, like he had a tribal background, And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain things, certain events happened because of that context. There was a family backing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at times Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt assured. At times he sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt unsafe. At times he felt happy. At times he felt sad. Those are all, and then something happens at the time, an ayat is revealed. He makes a comment, and that comment then gets transferred in the books of hadith like Bukhari and Muslim. And an ayat is revealed, and that is mentioned in the Quran. You can't understand the hadith properly or the ayat of the Quran properly unless you know how the Prophet ﷺ was feeling at the time, and unless you know why was he feeling as such. So we started studying about the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talked about Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we started talking about Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who else would we start from? Then his children, his sons and his daughters. And so far, what we've learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had three sons. He had Zain, he had Qasim, and he had Abdullah. And some say Tayyib and Tahir, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later had Ibrahim, and some say he had five sons, and some go as far as saying that he had seven sons, but the most popular and established opinion is, as I mentioned just earlier. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four daughters. We've talked in detail, and all the boys passed away at a young age, but the daughters lived. Sayyida Zainab bint Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the second was Sayyida Ruqayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Then was Umm Kulthum. And the third was, and then the fourth and the final was Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha. Last week, I think we were talking about Sayyida Ruqayya radiyallahu anha. Sometimes, to be honest, I myself lose thread because we have similar event somewhere else as well. So sometimes I myself lose thread. Where did we finish last week? So we talked about Sayyida Zainab radiyallahu anha, the eldest of the four daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She passed away in the year 9th after Hijrah. And we talked about her being married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi. And we talked about her having two children. One was Ali, one she named Ali, and the other she named Umama. And we talked about the children as well. We talked that we learned that Ali passed away young as well, around about in before he reached his teen years. But he was present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca. When Mecca was conquered, Mecca fell to Islam and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was opened, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam took over. That is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he entered Mecca, Ali, who was the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who was son of Zainab bint Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was with him on the same camel as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we learnt about Umama, the granddaughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She became the wife of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu. Sayyida Fatima radhiyallahu anha had instructed her husband Ali that after I pass away, if you plan to marry, then make sure you marry my niece, the daughter of Zainab, Umama bintu Abu al-As. And this Umama was beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we talked about certain events and certain of her experiences, and how close she was and how dear she was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umama bint Zainab, or bintu, which is the proper is Umama bint Abi al-As, who was the daughter of Zainab radiyallahu anha. And then we talked about Ruqayya radiyallahu anha, the second of the four daughters. Ruqayya was married to Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And we talked about her being the first couple, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first couple that have migrated in the name of Allah, and they were forced to leave their town and their home after the Nabi Sayyidina Lut alayhi wasallam's family. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is my daughter Zainab and her husband Uthman. They migrated to Abyssinia, and there she gave birth to her child, a child whose name was Abdullah. Abdullah was the only son that Sayyida Ruqayya had. And Abdullah lived until he reached the age of 6. So he was born 2 years. He was born in Abyssinia, in Habasha. And he stayed there until Ruqayya and Uthman radiallahu anhuma, they both returned to Medina. And then they both returned to Mecca. And when they migrated to Medina Munawwara, he was with his parents, Abdullah. And because of him, Ruqayya radiallahu anha earned the title Ummu Abdullah. So Ummu Abdullah was the title of Ruqayya radiyallahu anha, because she was the mother of Abdullah, who was again another grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ali passed away at young age, and Umama survived the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was alive even after her maternal aunt Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha, when she passed away, she married her widowed husband, and she lived later, and even after Ali radiyallahu anhu passed away, and then she married someone else, and she was with him when she passed away later on. But Ali passed away at a young age. Ali ibn Abi al-As we're talking about. So it's important that you do not lose that. SubhanAllah, they had similar names. It's interesting that they named their children. And in fact, we will later talk about Ali radiallahu anhu, that he has children and he names them Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. So they were very close to each other. The children of Ali radiallahu anhu, they were named after Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So this was their mizaj, and this is how they looked, how close they were to one another. So Ali ibn, he passed away at the age of 12, Ali ibn Abu al-As, and Umama lived on. And here Abdullah, the other grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Uthman, he passed away. Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away in the second year after Hijrah. Did I talk about how she passed away? I think we talked about the Battle of Badr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't allow Uthman radiallahu anhu to go to take part. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a full share, from the spoils of war, and he said, "You will get the reward too." And then, subhanallah. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, came back to Medina Munawwara after the Battle of Badr, he arrived in Medina and he learned that his daughter Ruqayya had passed away. Some scholars have speculated. It's the right word. Looking at the condition that she had, they said that she probably suffered from measles, Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. The symptoms that are mentioned, they think that she was suffering from measles. It's a very contagious disease. And maybe this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted her to be looked after properly. Because if Uthman radiallahu anhu wasn't there to look after her, and if she was left to the others, then measles is a disease that spreads quite rapidly. So to contain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that it's better that Uthman radiallahu anhu, who's more mature and who knows how to deal with it, he stays there to ensure that the disease doesn't spread in Medina. Maybe, Allahu alam, it can't be said with much certainty, but this is a speculation of some scholars, that they think that she probably was suffering from measles. And measles, again, if it's not treated properly, it can cause fertility. And Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back. Now, when he returns to Medina Munawwara, straight away he goes to the qabr and the burial site of Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he stood at the qabr of her daughter Sayyida Ruqayya, and he wept. And when he arrived here, the sisters of Sayyida Ruqayya also joined in the cemetery. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there, and the other ladies were present too. Sayyida Fatima radhiyallahu anha was present too, and Fatima radhiyallahu anha wept. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled her and comforted her. It is reported that Fatima radhiyallahu anha was crying, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wiping tears from the face of Sayyida Fatima, and he was recommending sabr and patience to her. فقعدت فاطمة على شفير القبر إلى جنب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعلت تبكي فجعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح الدمع عن عينها بطرف ثوبه. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, as he stood on her qabr, "Ilhaqi bi salafina Uthman ibn Mad'un," that, "O Ruqayya, you go and join our predecessors, like the likes of Uthman ibn Mad'un." Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu was one of those Sahaba who migrated from Makkah to Medina, and he was one of the first ones to pass away. And he was a very pious, God-fearing, and very devoted Muslim. He was very devout. And he was very zahid type of person as well, who had no love for dunya. When Usman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qabbala Rasulullahi Uthman ibn sallallahu alaihi wasallam Uthman ibn Mad'un wa mayyitun hatta ra'aytu ad-dumu'a tasilu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood at the mayyit when Usman radiallahu anhu was earlier passed away before the Battle of Badr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood at the qabr of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and he and Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha and Fatima radiallahu anha was there, and the other ladies were there, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked women, some women started crying loud, crying louder. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to tone it down and to be quiet and not make any noise and not to wail. And he was comforting Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there, some say that the Prophet ﷺ also made similar dua for her, like the one he'd made for Zainab radiallahu anha. I mentioned earlier, when Zainab radiallahu anha had passed away, the Prophet ﷺ, before she was lowered in her grave, the Prophet ﷺ went into the grave of Sayyida Zainab. And he had prayed, and he went in, and he appeared to be quite grieved, quite stressed and quite tense. But then he appeared relaxed. And he comes out. And the Sahaba later inquired, Ya Rasulullah, we noticed that when you stood in the grave, you appeared quite tense and quite worried. However, then we felt that you became suddenly, we felt signs of comfort on you, and then you came out, and we noticed that you were no longer in that kind of stress. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that I was worried about the qabr kind of, yani squeezing the mayyit. And I remembered that my Zainab is so fragile, and I was worried about it. And I prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave me assurance and gave me this glad tiding for my daughter that she would not experience any squeezing in the grave. So that made me feel reassured, and that gave me comfort. Here, when he stood at the qabr of Sayyida Ruqayya, Ruqayya's demise was much earlier than the demise of Sayyida Zainab. Zainab radiallahu's demise happened 7-8 years later. At least seven years later. Here Ruqayya radiallahu anha, at her qabr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also is making dua. Allahumma habli ruqayyata min dhammat al-qabr, fawahabaha Allahu lah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed to Allah azza wa jal that he says, for my sake, grant me this for my daughter Ruqayya, this safety from the squeezing in the grave, the being quashed and being pressed. So فَوَهَبَهَ اللَّهُ لَهُ, Allah Azza wa Jal granted him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this favor, this grace, that her daughter won't have any such experience in the grave. And Sayyida Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha, I think also mentioned last week, that Sayyida Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha was very pious, and her karamat, her own kind of miracles is not the right word, but karamat is said sometimes the pious people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them with some special protection. Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, because she was mashallah, she in her beauty, she was amazing. And when she was in Abyssinia, evil kind people, men, they went after her. They started annoying her. And that is when she prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal, that here I am in a foreign land as a migrant. I have no family to protect me, and these people are harassing me. Oh Allah, you deal with them. So it is said that فَأَذَاهَا ذَلِكَ, their harassment had made her uncomfortable and caused trouble to her. فَدَعَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ جَمِيعًا فَهَلَكُوا. She made dua against them. Oh Allah, only you can protect me from their mischief. They were all destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them all. So this was Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, Ummu Abdillah. So she passed away in the second year after Hijrah. When she passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset, definitely. And was upset. Who else was upset? There were. And the family was upset. And one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed that Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu he's for many weeks, and he, Usman radiallahu anhu, he was just quiet, and he, after people gradually, slowly got over the pain and the loss, but Usman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was overwhelmed with this tragedy. He was overwhelmed with this tragedy, and he was very upset. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed a while later that Uthman radiallahu anhu appears to be doesn't appear to have recovered. So he inquired that, Uthman, what happened to you? Why is it that you're so overwhelmed with this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, وَهَلْ دَخَلَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مَا دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ مَاتَتْ إِبْنَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَلَّتِي كَانَتْ عِنْدِي وَانْقَطَعَ ظَهَرِي وَانْقَطَعَ الصَّهْرُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, other people had the tragedy that a loved one of theirs left. Some people lost their sister. Some lost, probably Abdullah lost his mum. And maybe others lost their niece. And people had other, this was a loss for them. But for me, this was a loss, not at of multi levels, of multi layers. It was not just a loss of losing a wife or losing a beloved wife. It was loss of this tie that I had, this connection I had with you, O Nabi of Allah. What causes more grief to me is that I'm no longer related to you. I had relation with you. You were my father-in-law. I was your son-in-law. And I was a part of member of your household. But this rishta no longer remains. It's gone. I'm no longer related to you, Nabi of Allah. And you were, so the tragedy that has befallen me is very unique. And is something that only I can understand the pain. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he just walked on. And he didn't say at that time much. But thereafter, now Uthman radiallahu anhu is there. And now, at the time, people were sending proposals to Uthman radiallahu anhu. They were offering rishte, because he, as I said, as mentioned, his qualities. He was an amazing figure. Very respected, very dignified, very mature. He didn't have a bad mouth. Very polite, courteous, and mashallah, quite well off as well. Financially quite stable, quite independent. So obviously, everybody wants a person of that kind to give their daughters or sisters to as nikah, in nikah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, his daughter, she became a widow during that time. So Umar radiallahu anhu thought that who can be better now that my daughter has become a widow, who can be a better spouse for her than Uthman? So he directly went and he spoke to him and he said, Uthman, my daughter has become a widow and now I'm looking for a suitable spouse and I think you are also in that situation. So I offer my daughter to you in nikah. So very straight, Umar says that I offer the hand of my daughter in marriage to you if you're interested. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He says, Jazakallahu khairan, but at this time, at this moment in time, I'm not interested. I have no desire to marry again. So he gave a clear answer. I do not wish to remarry, and I'm not interested at the moment. So he said, Jazakallah khairan. And this was at least about 5 or 6 months after the demise of his wife Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, because she passed away in Ramadan, the year second after Hijrah. And this proposal came in Rabi'ul Awwal, year 3 after Hijrah. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was aware of the pain of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then when Umar radiallahu anhu offered the hand of his daughter in marriage to Uthman radiallahu anhu, at the same time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also talking about the daughter of Umar radiallahu anhu in his closest circle. This was a noble practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would, when he do things, he would do mashwara, especially he would do mashwara with some people that he trusted. Now the Prophet, this is interesting here. Umar radiallahu anhu first mentions his daughter to Uthman radiallahu anhu, because he knows that Uthman radiallahu anhu is not, he's a widow. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu says politely, no, Jazakallah khairan, I'm not interested at this moment in time. I want to wait for a little while. I'm not ready, mentally not ready. I've not recovered from the previous tragedy. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, a few days later, he thinks, who else is better? Then he thinks Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who later became Khalifatul Rasulillah and very respected among Sahaba. And Umar radiallahu anhu had a lot of respect for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We'll talk about it at another time. Umar was aware of the great daraja and the status that Abu Bakr enjoyed with the Prophet ﷺ. Even the Prophet ﷺ had I don't want to use the word respect, but acknowledgement and appreciation for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If someone tried to raise a complaint against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get upset. No, don't you dare say that to me about Abu Bakr. So Umar radiallahu anhu knew that he's so respected and so unique. So he thought, okay, if Osman is not ready, he's not interested, then let me check with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And polygamy was very common. Even though people were married, they would take second, third, or fourth wife. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at the time, I think, had only one wife, Umm Ruman radiallahu anha. But then Abu Umar radiallahu anhu goes and he mentions that the same thing. He puts the same proposal to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that my daughter has become a widow, and I'm thinking of giving her in marriage again, getting her married again, and I think you would be a better spouse for my daughter. So are you interested in marrying for the second time? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he stays quiet, looks at him, just says no yes, no no, and walks away. Now Umar radiallahu anhu feels offended. And Umar says, I was more hurt at the reaction of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu than I was at the clear reply that Usman gave to me. Usman simply said, I'm not interested. I'm not ready. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't even bother to say yes or no. He just stared at me and walked away. Said, what's that? He could have, if he was not interested, he should have said no. And if I'd said something wrong, he should have explained it to me. No, he's left it. He didn't even care to give me a clear answer. That's an insult. So Umar radiallahu anhu was very upset at the way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reacted. But he didn't realize that there was something internal, something else going on, which Umar radiallahu anhu was not aware of. Few days later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a proposal for Hafsa, asking for Hafsa's hand in marriage. So he sent a proposal to Umar radiallahu anhu that he was interested in marrying Hafsa radiallahu anha. And Umar radiallahu anhu was obviously overjoyed. He thought Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was looking for someone, and he was mentioning that he never even thought that he was worthy of that honor. So he never even said that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when this happened, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was obviously, Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu was very excited. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said the whole story. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Subhanallah, why would I say no? I was so worried. I had offered my daughter to Usman and he said no. And I offered to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr didn't even bother to give me a reply. And Ya Rasulullah, definitely, I'm more than happy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, okay, should I not suggest something for Usman that is better than Hafsa? So someone that is better than Hafsa for Usman. And then he said, Atani Jibra'ilu faqala inna Allah ya'muruka an tazawwaja Usmana ala mithli sadaqi ruqayyata wa ala mithli suhbatiha. Allah Azza wa Jal, Jibreel Islam has come to me and he has said that Allah commands you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you give the other daughter that you have at home, Umm Kulthum, give her as a wife to Usman on the same sadaq, on the same mehr that you had fixed for Ruqayya, and on the same conditions that you had set for Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. So, on the same conditions that were agreed with Usman radiallahu anhu for Ruqayya radiallahu anha, on the same amount of mehr and same conditions, now give your second daughter, Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, to Usman as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a number of times he said, "Ma zawajtu Umm Kulthum min Uthman illa bi wahyin min as-sama'." I didn't give my daughter Umm Kulthum to Uthman radiallahu anhu in nikah except after wahy from the heavens, from the Almighty Allah azza wa jal. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then Abu Umar radiallahu anhu, when he met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Umar, now you're happy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taken your daughter's hand in marriage?" He said, "Umar, I was aware of this when you mentioned that to me, and I didn't want to reveal the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to you, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken to me in confidence, And I had no right to reveal, share that secret with you. If I had disclosed that secret with you, I would have betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was not going to betray him. So I stayed quiet, didn't say yes or didn't say no, because I knew that you would find out soon what was happening. And if had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his mind, I would have definitely, because this was a lady like Hafsa. And Hafsa radiallahu anha was very pious as well. Before I move on, Hafsa radiallahu anha, at one occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that he should divorce Hafsa radiallahu anha. At something made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quite upset with Hafsa radiallahu anha. So at one occasion he thought that, in fact, it is some accounts say that he divorced Hafsa radiallahu anha, said talaq to Hafsa radiallahu anha. Now, he pronounced talaq, but it was just one talaq that he pronounced. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went away. But then Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him. Hafsa radhiyallahu anha sat and she started crying. I've been divorced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Marriage is over. And she was crying. And next day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back and he says, last night Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. He said, Allah commands you that you should take Hafsa back in nikah, because she's a lady that has a very high status with Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِنَّهَا صَوَّامَةُ وَقَيَّامَةُ She's a woman that is devoted to Allah in worship. She frequently fasts during the day and she spends her night in Qiyam praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah wants you to take Hafsa back because she's written as a wife for you in Jannah. She's going to be your companion in Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal instructs you to take Hafsa back. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took her back. Said Rujo, she took her back. So this was the type of woman Hafsa radiallahu anha was, that Allah says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry her. Then when he changes his mind, Allah Azza wa Jal says, no, you can't change your mind. She's sawwama, she's qiyama, she spends her night in qiyam and she spends her day in fasting. You cannot divorce her. She is written as your spouse and your wife for you in Jannah. You must take her back. Anyway, this was Sayyidah Hafsa bint Umar radiallahu anha, who was one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then, at that time, he gave his second daughter, Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu in marriage and in nikah. Now, I'm just giving you an account of things that happened. Now, there is some controversy here as well. Something that we'll talk about inshallah in the days, weeks to come. We may not be able to finish next week, but the week after. But we're going to deal with the controversies here that are here. I'll give you a brief run through of the controversy. The controversy here is that Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha before. Now let's think about the age of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha was 1 year younger than Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Ruqayya radiallahu anha was born in the year 33 of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 33 years old when Allah granted her Ruqayya. The following year, Allah granted him Umm Kulthum. So Umm Kulthum was 1 year younger than Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Now, so this will say she was born in the year 34 of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth. Okay, 6 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was appointed as a Nabi. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first divine revelation, Ruqayya radiallahu anha was 7 years old and Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha was 6 years old. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Mecca for another 13 years. 13 plus 6 is 19. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, how old was Ruqayya radiallahu anha? 13 plus 6 is? 13 plus 6 is 19. She was 19 years old. Now, 2 years later, Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away. Umm Kulthum was 19. So, Umm Kulthum, when she arrives at Medina, she's 19 years of age. And her sister Ruqayya, she is 20. And Ruqayya was married in Mecca with Uthman radiallahu anhu while before. Okay, in the year 5th after Nubuwwah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 45 years old, that is when Ruqayya was married. And Ruqayya migrated to Abyssinia. So she was married at the age of 12. And Umm Kulthum is 19, but she's not married yet. And then in Medina, they come and Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, 2 years later, Ruqayya has passed away and she's now 21. And Umm Kulthum, Ruqayya passed away And Umme Kulthum at the time is 21 years old. But she's not married. Next year, 6 months later, when she's approximately 22, she's given in nikah to Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. But by then, according to some accounts, Fatima radiallahu anha was already married to Ali radiallahu anhu. The question is, why was Sayyida Fatima given to Ali radiallahu anhu in nikah and not Ruqayya, when Ruqayya was older than Fatima? Does that make sense? Umm Kulthum was 21, and Fatima radiallahu anha was about she was about 3 years younger than Umm Kulthum. So her nikah happens before the nikah of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhu. And some other issues here that arise, we will talk about them inshallah at later on. But let us talk about Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Umm Kulthum was born when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 34 years old. And she accepted Islam just like her sisters. And her first marriage was with Sayyidina. Her first marriage was with the sons of Abu Lahab. You know that we talked about Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, Utba and Utayba, the two sons of Abu Lahab. They had because Abu Lahab was a paternal uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his two daughters the commitment was, the ruqsati hadn't taken place, they hadn't moved over, but they were still young, they were children, 6-7 years old. A commitment was made in nikah, in marriage, and some kind of formal commitment was announced. But then Abu Lahab, when the Surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab was revealed, Abu Lahab became so outraged that he insisted on his sons to divorce the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they did, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the two daughters were again now, the nikah was finished. The eldest of the two was given straight away, and the year after, to Uthman radiallahu anhu in nikah. But the other one, Umme Kulthum, was not wedded, and she stayed with her parents until she comes to Medina Munawwara. And now in Medina Munawwara, she is married to Uthman radiallahu anhu after the demise of Ruqayya radiallahu anhu. I think the time is running quite short, it's reaching half it. Dil to karta hai, subah tak karte rahe. Theek hai? But inshallah, fir agle hafte fir main akela baitha hunga. We'll just conclude here. Inshallah, next week we'll talk about this. And there's a lot more here in the life of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. And this is where some of our brothers, Ahl al-Bayt, they use Ahl al-Bayt as a cover to kind of advance their kind of narrative, to push their narrative. They disagree, they raise objections here. They have itiraz. Why? No, how do you explain this? How do you explain that? Inshallah, we'll talk about this next week. Ya khadam karke. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Do you have any question here until now? Inshallah, we'll talk about this. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. If you want, we can extend it for another 15 minutes. Should we? Rather than finishing at 8:30, we can extend it until 8:45. Too late, Hodega? It'll be a bit too late. Think about it and we'll discuss it in the week, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارضى عني رضا لا تسقط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي أمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا والنساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله جزاك الله خيرا وحسن الجزاء صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now inshallah, just briefly, if you could share with us your achievement this year, accomplishment in terms of Durood Sharif. Our target is to make it together, inshallah, at least 100,000 a week, inshallah. So if you could please share with us to encourage, as an encouragement for one another. So we'll start from the right side. MashaAllah, well done. MashaAllah, 22,000. No? Okay. MashaAllah, there you go. 41, 42, 47, mashallah. Yes, 41 plus 6, 47 ho gaya, ji. Mashallah, straight 50. We'll just do dua now, inshallah, in 1 minute. Ji bete, Ismail. Mashallah, now, inshallah, now put the game up, inshallah, little. 54, mashallah. No, make an effort, inshallah. Rahim. 55, mashallah. Mashallah, well done. 59. The back. No, ji. Go with me. 10, mashallah. 61, 63, mashallah. Nahi, kuch nahi sakte. The back. Chale. 63, chale ji, inshallah. We'll make an effort, inshallah. 200,000 next week, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Make dua for Master Nasir Awan Sahib. He's unwell. There's another brother, Sufi Qayyum Abdullah. He's also unwell. Make dua for him too. Allah Ta'ala grant. Allah Azzawajal grant shifa, both of them. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala restore their health. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يا من لا تراه العيون ولا تخالطه الظنون ولا يصفه الواصفون لا تغيره الحوادث ولا يخشى الدوائر يعلم مثاقيل الجبال ومكايل البحار وعدد قطر الأمطار وعدد ورق الأشجار وعدد ما أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار ولا توالي منه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ولا بحر ما في قعره ولا جبل ما في وعره نسألك أن تصلي على سيدنا محمد صلى الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأن تجعل خير أعمالنا آخرها وخير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم احرسنا بعينك التي لا تنام واكنفنا بركنك الذي لا يرام وارحمنا بقدرتك علينا فلا نهلك وأنت رجاؤنا فكم من نعمة أنعمت بها علينا قل لك بها شكرنا وكم من بلية ابتليتنا بها قل لك بها صبرنا فيا من قل عند نعمته شكرنا فلم يحرمنا ويا من قل عند بليته صبرنا فلم يخذلنا ويا من رآنا عن الخطايا فلم يفضحنا يا ذا المعروف الذي لا ينقضي أبدا ويا ذا النعماء التي لا تحصى أبدا نسألك أن تصلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبك ندرأ في نحور الأعداء والجبابرة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في الهند وفي كشمير وفي الصين اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في العراق وفي سوريا وفي أفريقيا وفي سائر بلاد العالم يا رب العالمين يا الله اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمارے بیٹھنا قبول فرما ٹوٹی پھوٹی کوشش قبول فرما یا اللہ اس میں برکت عطا فرما یا اللہ اس میں برکت عطا فرما اس کو ہماری معافی اور رفع درجات کا سبب اور ذریعہ بنا یا اللہ نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت کی حفاظت فرما قرآن کی حفاظت فرما جو لوگ اس کو مٹانا چاہتے ہیں تو ان کے شر سے مسلمانوں کے عالم اسلام کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہماری حاجتیں ضرورتیں اپنے خزانوں سے پوری فرما جو درود شریف یہاں پڑھا گیا اور جو پہلے پڑھا گیا اور جو اگلے ہفتے پڑھا جائے گا اور جو پہلے پڑھا جا چکا یا ارحم الراحمین سب قبول فرما اور آقا پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت ہمیں عطا فرما ان کے الطاف اور ان کی توجہات ہمیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان کے الطاف اور ان کی توجہات ہمیں نصیب فرما ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسینا واخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم إنا نسألك خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك اشف الشفاء أن لا يغادر سقما يا الله ما نبي معروك والشفاء عطا فرما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين ورحمة الله.